This is Digital Story Podcast number 529, April 26, 2016. Today's theme, how to be the influencer. I'm Derek Story. Within every social group, there are influencers for different areas. There's a restaurant expert, wine connoisseur, computer nerd, fitness fanatic, and yes, the photography guru. Chances are good that you're the imaging influencer in your world. And today's show discusses how to be effective in that role. I spent last weekend at a father-son event at the University of Santa Clara where my son is a member of the fraternity Sigma Pi. The boys plan a weekend full of activities for the dads and the boys to hang out together, and it's really a great time. You know, as you would imagine, over the course of 2 days, there's plenty of time for casual conversation that usually leads to our personal interests. In my case, this was accelerated as soon as I pulled out my Olympus OMD EM5 Mark II. I just wanted to capture a few memories, but this camera draws attention. It always does. And the first thing that I heard was, "What kind of camera is that?" And for some reason, I was surprised that not everyone knew. And that's what happens, right? We hang around each other here at the podcast and on our Facebook page and all those kinds of places. And we're sort of used to talking at a certain level, knowing a certain amount of things. But once we leave our group here and we go out into the regular world, not the photographer world, then we are the influencers. We are the people that have an active interest in photography and computers as they relate to imaging. And we know a lot of stuff. Whether we actually realize it or not, we know a lot of stuff. And that information is useful to other people who like photography, who have questions about photography, don't really want to know everything about photography that we know, right? And you got to really watch that sort of thing. I mean, that's one of the things that we're going to touch on a bit today. They do want to know at a high level, you know, what kind of camera should they buy? What kind of software should they use? You know, things like that. And we can be really helpful. But there is a knack to being the influencer. And before I tell you about how to do that, I want to mention where the idea of influencer was first introduced to me. When I was working for O'Reilly Media, Tim O'Reilly believed in giving away books and, you know, getting things out there into people's hands, into the influencer's hands. So for instance, if there was a new book being released on, I don't know, programming Java, for example, then he would want to make sure that the Java programmers who had influence in the community saw the book, had their hands on the book. The thinking being, of course, if they liked the book, then they would recommend it to other people. And usually there would be quite a few folks in that other people category. Yes, you're giving away one book, but you're probably selling hundreds as a result. Because it's not only the people that they directly recommend it to, but then those people have it and they recommend it to other people. And it's like how restaurants become popular, right? That same sort of thing. So that's when I was introduced to the notion of the influencer, or at least when I really thought about it in terms of technology and things that I do. And in our world right here, people who listen to this podcast and participate in our virtual camera club, I've known for a long time that you guys are the influencers in your world. You're the folks that people ask for advice. What camera should I get? What photo software should I use? What accessories do I need? What type of lens should I get next? You know, all those sort of questions. And you keep up, right? You're listening to a podcast on photography. Right away, there are credentials. And if you're listening to me, then you're probably listening to some other people too, and you're probably reading some articles, and you're probably following a few social sites, and you're probably on Instagram, and it just goes on and on. And so over time, you really do accumulate a lot of knowledge, probably more knowledge than you realize. And that really comes home like it did for me when I was hanging out with the dads in Santa Clara, when I pull out something that is just this everyday thing for me, this camera, and people literally didn't know what type of camera it was. They thought, is that an old film camera because of its retro styling? Is it a digital camera? If it is, what kind of pictures can it take? Why isn't it bigger? You know, things like that. Then, of course, you know, that's a great icebreaker, right? You go, oh, all right, well, let's talk about photography. I don't mind that at all. That's a lot better than, you know, some of the other topics we could be talking about right now, like politics and religion, for example, which I don't like talking about at parties. Anyway, what are some tips on being a good influencer? Now that we've acknowledged that you probably are in your world, how do you be a good influencer? How do you be an effective influencer? Well, I've got some points for you. As you suspected, I probably did, right? First one, listen first, talk later. This applies to so many things in life, relationships, all that. But it also applies to being an influencer. How are you going to help somebody if you don't really know what they need? Once they find out that you have knowledge in this area, that doesn't mean that you just like take off and just start talking about everything that you know. Listen to what they want to know. Do they want to know about a new smartphone? Are they interested in getting a DSLR? Have they been curious about mirrorless cameras? What kind of computer do they use? Do they have any photo management software right now? If they don't, then you really need to know what type of computer they have so you can recommend something that works on their platform. How many pictures do they take? How often do they take pictures? Is it something to just upgrade from their smartphone for special occasions? Are they planning a big trip? Are they going to Europe? Those are the things that you need to know before you can shape any sort of advice that's going to be helpful for them. So listen first, ask them a few questions, and then you can give them some knowledge. Second, don't be a fanboy. Really, don't be a fanboy. And what do I mean by that? We all know that you love the camera that you're using, and you're probably very much in favor of the photo management software that you've selected. But just because that works for you doesn't mean it works for everyone else on the planet. And don't look at this poor guy that's asking you for advice as, you know, some potential convert to the gear that you think he should be using. Draw on your extensive photographic knowledge and try to recommend things that work for the other person, not just for you. I face this all the time during the podcast, online, everything that I do. Now, clearly, I talk a lot more about Apple technologies than I do about the PC and Windows-based technologies or even Google-based technologies, not because I don't respect the other platforms, but mainly because that's what I know. And so I'm talking about what I know. However, if someone's asking me for advice, I'm not going to talk only about Apple if they're using a Windows laptop and they have an Android smartphone. I'm actually going to try to help them based on those platform choices that they're made. In other words, I'm not going to say, well, you know, you really need to switch over to an iPhone and you really need to get a MacBook or you're just wasting your time. That is fanboy thinking and we want to stay away from that. Now, obviously, you'll have to say, depending on what your strengths are, well, let's turn it around. Let's do it the other way. Let's say that you're a Windows user and let's say that you're an Android tablet user and this person has a Mac and you're not as up to speed on their Mac-ness. And they're asking you about stuff, well, then you're going to have to preface your answers with, well, I'm not as familiar with the software that's on a Mac, and I'm not as familiar with iPhones as I am with Android devices, but I will tell you what I've heard, and I will tell you what some of my friends use, and they seem pretty happy with it, and maybe at least that'll give you a starting point. So you can go that way. You can go down that road. So just try to be open-minded. Try to give advice that's truly helpful to the other person. And don't just regurgitate the things that you love without acknowledging that there's a lot of different choices out there. And some of those choices are better choices for other people. Now, speaking of choices, don't offer too many of them. And I've had to learn this one the hard way. I used to try to be so helpful. Let's take the classic question, what camera should I buy? This is after I listened to them and really had a feel for what I thought would be good for them. But even knowing that, there were still a dozen options that were viable. And I would go through all 12 of them. Say, okay, now, if you're more interested in traveling light and da-da-da, then you go this way. If you're shooting more sports, or you think you'd be shooting more sports than you are right now, then you want to go with this and da-da-da. I found out that people did not want a shopping list of possibilities. When they ask you, what camera should I buy? They are really looking for a camera, one option. And I know it's really tempting for us to give them many options in the hope of finding something that's perfect for them. But what I've really learned is I try to give them just one or two choices. So I try to take all the information that I have accumulated about their interests to that point and try to match it to a camera. And that is really what people want. They want a camera, they want a lens, they want a photo management software. They don't want your ranking of the best 12 cameras available on the market right now. So try to narrow it down to a single or maybe two choices and not a whole shopping list. You'll see their eyes glaze over, I promise. If you start, you know, by the time you're to the sixth camera, you've lost them. And they're going to start thinking that their beer glass is a little empty. Okay? All right. Next, help them with things that they don't ask about. Everyone's interested in what camera they should use. Very few people are really interested in how they should back up the images from that device. Now, if you broach the subject, they might be interested, especially if they've lost something in the past. But I think one of the opportunities that we have is to help protect people from losing valuable memories. And again, this is where you really have to listen. This is where you really have to pay attention to what they're telling you. Because if they're a Mac user, recommend iCloud. It's easy. It's built in. They probably already have all the wiring right there, and all they have to do is activate their account or turn on a preference on their phone, and they will automatically be backing up stuff. If they're a Dropbox user, tell them how Dropbox can back up automatically. If they want to share photos with other people and they've heard of Flickr, or they like Flickr, Flickr gives you 1 terabyte of storage, and it has the automatic camera roll so that it can automatically back stuff up there. So there are these different options that are easy out there. Now, again, we're going to be tempted to get into redundancy and cloud versus hard drive and all that kind of stuff, right? Okay, so here's what you do. And then you're poised, like you're getting ready to, you know, run a sprint or something. Don't do that. Really, again, because if you think about it, if they're not doing anything at all, and they just start doing one thing, they are so far ahead of the game than they were before they talked to you. So try to find that one thing. And again, listen to what they're using. Do they use Dropbox? Are they a Mac user? Do they have a Flickr account? Listen for those things and then try to match some automatic backup or semi-automatic backup to what they're already using. And then encourage them to use it. Tell them how easy it is. And if something does go wrong, if you leave your smartphone on the seat of a taxi cab and it drives off, yes, you might lose your device. Hopefully you'll get it back, but you might lose your device, but you won't lose the pictures that are on it. Finally, don't diss their current approach. So as part of this conversation, you're probably going to hear about their current choices and approaches. Great. Stay positive and don't diss what they're already doing. You know, don't laugh at them. Don't go, oh my God. You're using that 5-year-old digital camera? That thing only captures at 8 megapixels. And the top ISO, 400 at best, dude. Yeah, just like, Don't do that. The way that you frame your recommendations is, well, I see that you already like Sony. You already have that Sony camera. Some of the newer Sony compacts and mirrorless choices are really fantastic. They have better high ISO performance than your existing one, which means that you can take better pictures in lower light. They're more responsive. The LCDs have gotten better. The lenses are fantastic. Based on what you're telling me and based on what you already have, I think the RX2 would be a great choice for you. You know, something like that. So you're building on what they're already doing, but don't diss what they're already doing. And it's easy to do that. And I mean, I know you're not going to intentionally insult them, right? Because you're not a mean person. But what you might accidentally do in terms of commenting on their existing equipment is that you might put it down. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to put it. I mean, they may decide to stay with what they have even after your illuminating conversation. They may decide just to stay put. And, you know, you don't want anyone to feel bad about what they're using. In all honesty, there are no wrong answers. I mean, unless you're doing this for a living or unless someone, you know, depending on you to deliver a certain thing, then keep in mind, this is all good fun, right? This is not the super important stuff in life. You know, taking care of our children, putting a roof over our heads, making sure we have enough food. What happens in our community, what happens in our state, what happens in our nation, those are important things. Those are the biggies. Photography is fun. All right, I do it for a living, and I still say these other things are more important than my photography. But I'm passionate about it because I love it, and it gives me joy. And your passion sometimes can work against you, especially if your passion doesn't align with what they're already doing. So be kind. And especially when you're talking about what they're already doing, you know, be encouraging and saying, oh, that was a great choice. I mean, I actually played with one of those cameras. Don't say I played with one of those cameras 15 years ago. Just go, yeah, I've played with one of those. They're pretty cool. The newer version, I'll tell you, they've done this and that, and they've really improved upon the model that you have, and it's pretty cool. You'd probably feel very at home with it. So just a few things to think about. I think, first of all, you have to acknowledge that you are the influencer in your world of photography. People are going to look to you. As a result, you find yourself in a leadership role in this particular area. Obviously, the restaurant guy is the guy that we're going to go to for where do we go out to eat on Friday night. And then there's always a pizza expert somewhere. And people are very passionate about pizza. As passionate about pizza as they are about cameras. So that person's going to have some recommendation. And I tell you, those people aren't nearly as open-minded as we are about photography, believe me. I mean, you go here and eat this pizza. If you're going over there to pizza guys, you're crazy. That stuff is crap. See, we don't do that. We're not like that. The wine guy, the beer guy, the fitness person, they're all going to be the people that we go to for helpful information. But when it comes to photography, that's our turf. That's our place, right? And so as leaders in the world of photography, keep these things in mind that I mentioned. Be a good leader. Be a kind leader. In the news, new cameras supported by Digital Camera Raw Compatibility Update 6.19. And this is for folks on the Mac platform. There wasn't a lot of hoopla around this. I mean, I know it's a, you know, raw compatibility update. I mean, they're not going to send out a press release or anything. However, a bunch of new cameras were supported. And if you are using one of these cameras, this is going to be very good news for you. This will work for Photos for OS X. This will work for Aperture. This will work for Preview. Any app that runs on a Mac that uses Apple's raw decoding is going to benefit from this update. And this update is available in the updates section of the Mac App Store. And depending on how you have your computer set up, it may or may not have already been automatically applied. Now, some of the cameras that are involved here, the Fujifilm X, E2S, the Fujifilm X70, the Leica S, the Leica XU, the Nikon D5, woo! The Nikon D500, yay! The Panasonic Lumix DMC ZS60 and the TZ80, and then two Sony cameras, the Sony Alpha 6300, woo, 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 and the Sony Alpha SLT A68. All of those cameras were supported with this latest RAW compatibility update, 6.19. So those of you that are using the Mac platform, you've got some new RAW profiles available. And if you're using one of those new cameras, first of all, I'm envious. And second of all, I'm happy for you because you can now use those RAW files. Here's a cool new device that I just wrote about, actually I wrote about today. It's called the SanDisk iXpand, I, small I, capital X, P-A-N-D, iXpand, flash drive for iOS devices. And what this little guy does is that he plugs, it could be a she, could be he, I don't know. It's gender neutral. Plugs into the lightning port of the iOS device, and it provides between 16 and 128 gigabytes of storage, depending on which one you buy and how much money you spend. And there's an app that goes with it, and it's the iXpand Drive app, which is free in the App Store. And basically what it allows you to do is you can free up space on your device by moving images and music and movies to this flash drive. You can automatically backup photos and videos from your camera roll with it, automatically backup contacts. It plays popular video formats on the iPhone and iPad. It has a flexible connector that fits through most iPhone cases. And that's a big deal. Not having to take the case off, such a big deal, I tell you. Nothing more annoying than having this cool device and then you have to take off your case in order to use it. Ah, deal breaker for me, in all honesty. High-speed USB 3.0 transfer to and from your computer. Secure file storage across your computer. And videos automatically saved to the drive if captured with the iXpand Drive app. So pretty cool. Now the pricing on this is, for the 16 gigabyte models, $49. And then it works up $69, $89, and then $129 for the 128 gigabyte capacity. Works with basically everything. iPhone 6s, 6s's, 5s, iPad Pro, iPad Airs, iPad Minis, looks like all of them. Basically what you really need is iOS 8.2 or later. So a nice little storage device for those of you that are nimble photographers and want to sometimes just travel without your laptop, but with your iOS devices. And knowing SanDisk, for those of you that are Android users, I would definitely check in with what they're doing, because they almost always have an Android version or a Windows version of these sort of devices. So I would look into that too. Most of the time, funny, with SanDisk, they usually lean more heavy towards the Windows users than the Mac platform, but they release this for iOS devices. And it's pretty cool, and it's called the SanDisk iXpand Flash Drive. There's a link to it in the show notes, but you already knew that, right? App Camp for Girls. So I want to tell you about something that I learned about through a friend I've known for a long time in the Mac community, Jean McDonald, Mac Genie. I think she's the one that started this. At least she's the one that I always associate with App Camp for Girls. And this is something that's really neat. I'm going to read you what they have on their site right now, because that way I know it'll be described properly. But then I'm going to tell you just about some upcoming events. And this is something that I think is a beautiful thing, in all honesty. App Camp for Girls seeks to address the gender imbalance in technology professions by inspiring middle school age girls with a broad introduction to the process of app development, from brainstorming and designing ideas to building and pitching their apps. We believe that the experience of creating an app that runs on a device in 1 week can spark the enthusiasm that will propel girls to pursue further tech education. They have more information about all of this. I'm going to tell you about a couple upcoming events that they just announced. But the website is App Camp for Girls, and the four is the number four. So it's App, A-P-P, C-A-M-P, number four, girls. App Camp for Girls, all one word, .com. And of course, there's a link in the show notes on the digital story. However, the thing that I really wanted to let you know that is a little time sensitive is that they've announced a couple new events, one in Orange County at Rancho Santa Margarita Intermediate School on August 8 through 12, and another one in Phoenix, July 25 through 29. Now, even though those are a bit off in the distance, they need to know how many they have pretty much by the first week of May. Mac Genie asked me if I would note that on the show, and I said I'd be more than happy to, because this is such a terrific thing that they're doing here. I mean, all we have to do, and I'm not going to editorialize too much on this, but I'll just say this. Those of us that are in technology, all we have to do in any sort of meeting is look to the left, look to the right, and we see how many men there are proportional to how many women there are at the professional level. And there's a lot more dudes than there are gals. That's all I'm going to say here. And that has nothing to do with who is smarter or who is able to do the job, right? There's a lot of other factors involved there. What they're trying to do with App Camp for Girls is get girls interested and confident at that critical age when they're in middle school, give them some momentum so that they will make choices later on that could lead to a very fulfilling career that they'll be good at. And they'll go down that road, or might go down that road, because someone gave them the confidence at that critical age. So anyway, it's a cool program. If you're interested at all, go to appcampforgirls.com. For those of us that are in the technology world, and basically any of us that are in photography and the world of technology, this is a cool thing. And if you have a daughter at this age, and she has any sort of aptitude for tech and this kind of stuff, I think she'd have a blast. I really think she'd have a blast at an app camp. And there's a whole bunch of them. The two that they really want me to talk about right now, Orange County, August 8 through 12, and Phoenix on July 25 through 29. Okay, just a couple more updates for you. Out of Chicago, I haven't talked about it recently, because there's been so much other stuff going on. But the debut of the Nimble Photographer Workshop is going to be at Out of Chicago. And we have some openings in the June 23rd workshop. The June 24th workshop is sold out. And then there's the whole Out of Chicago experience, which is fantastic. And there's going to be photo walks. A whole bunch of us are doing classes, panel discussions. I mean, this is a neat event. If you're in the Midwest in June, I would seriously consider coming to Out of Chicago. I think you'll have a great time. There's a link in the show notes for Out of Chicago. If you haven't been able to make it out to the West Coast to hang out with us at a workshop or something, you're in the Midwest, this would be a great opportunity for us to get together and, talk. I love talking to folks that are in our virtual camera club. Okay. So Out of Chicago, coming up in June. My first workshop's on June 23rd, and then the conference follows after that. And finally, our good friends at Red River Paper, just want to give them a shout out. They're helping me go to Out of Chicago. Yes, isn't that something? I mean, not only do they support this podcast, they're also helping to support me getting out there and meeting with our Virtual Camera Club members in the Midwest. And we are going to talk about making great prints from digital images. That's one of the things I'm going to be talking about at the Out of Chicago event. They have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. It takes you to our landing page, and there you can find out about great paper stock, greeting cards, envelopes, ink, tutorials, just about anything you need to print something wonderful. Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the digital story, and they are great people. They are indeed. Alrighty, I think that is going to do it for this week. All right, you influencers, go out there and give some good advice. Listen first, be kind. It's exciting, isn't it? Really, when you think about it? And you think about, you have invested all this time in learning this craft and learning about this craft. And now not only can you use that to help your own interests, to help your own creativity, your own artistic endeavors, and maybe even your career, but you can help someone else take better pictures and have a better experience with their camera. I love that. I think that's so exciting. So go out there, be a good influencer, and then come back and join me next week. I'll talk about some more new stuff. It's always fun. Great to have you here. Until then, bye-bye now.